Welcome to another episode of Drift Off, the podcast that brings you sleepy bedtime stories every Tuesday to help you relax, unwind, and drift off to dreamland. I'm your host, Joanne, and it is an honor helping you get restful sleep. Life can be so busy and stressful, and we all need an oasis where stress can just melt away. Drift Off can be your oasis, a soothing escape that can help you relax and unwind as soon as you press play. Let's face it, who wants to listen to ads or sponsored announcements when all we want is to relax? Subscribing to Drift Off not only keeps the show ad-free, but it also unlocks bonus bedtime stories, gives you early access so you listen first before episodes go live, and much more. At Drift Off, my aim is simple: to help you immerse in sleepy bedtime stories that bring you peace and relaxation so you can drift off. So why not give Drift Off a try? You can subscribe either on Apple Podcasts by tapping on the offer to subscribe displayed on the Drift Off show page, or by using the link in the show notes, driftoff.supercast.com. A free way you can support Drift Off is by leaving a 5-star rating and review either on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or whichever app you choose to listen. Reviews help other listeners find Drift Off too. My friend, thank you for joining me today on Drift Off. So lay back and relax, and let's get ready to go on this sleepy journey together. In tonight's episode, I have something special for you. A feel-good story that has lots of kindness to warm your heart during the holiday season. I will be reading a sweet Russian Christmas tale called Paulina's Christmas. This tale is an adaptation of Anna Robinson's Little Paulina, about a young girl whose father has been exiled to Siberia. In the meantime, Paulina shows kindness towards an unusual stranger. Not only do the two become friends, but there's also an unexpected surprise at the end of the story. But before we dive into this heartwarming Christmas tale, I'm going to help you ease into relaxation. So once you're snuggled under the covers, take a moment to focus on your breathing. Focusing on the inhale as it flows in through your nostrils, and the exhale as it flows out. And as you continue to unwind, imagine strolling along the shoreline of a tranquil, secluded beach at sunset. Feel the warmth of the sand beneath your feet. Each step you take helps you feel calm and relaxed. See the ocean waves as they roll in and roll out. The rhythmical sound of the ebb and flow washes over you like a soothing lullaby. Let yourself immerse fully into this scenery. With each wave that rolls in, allow any tension to dissolve and melt away into the wet sand, letting go more and more with each wave that flows in and flows out. A Allow the soothing sound of the waves to wrap around you, lulling you, gently rocking you into a deeper state of relaxation. Take a full, comfortable breath. And as you exhale, release all worries and concerns from your day. Let them float away like clouds on a breeze. My friend, there is nothing else to do and nowhere else to be. So just lay back, relax, and enjoy the story. One day in Russia, there was a heavy snowstorm. The snow was deep on the ground, and in the forest, the branches of the trees bent under its weight. In this forest, a little girl was struggling along. There was no path for her to follow, for the snow covered all the paths. The little girl's name was Paulina. She was dressed in a long fur coat, and she wore a cap and mittens and gaiters of fur, so that she looked more like a little furry animal than a little girl. She kept tramping along, not a bit afraid, when suddenly she heard a call for help. "Help! Help!" the call came. "Coming, coming," she called back. She went in the direction of the voice, and soon she saw a man making his way toward her. His dress was that of a peasant. "Will you please direct me out of this forest, little one?" he asked. "You probably know the paths about." "No, I am a stranger here," Paulina answered. "I live in Kiev, that is. I did live there, but I'm on my way to my father." "Where is your father?" asked the man. "He's in Siberia. They banished him." "But, little one," said the stranger, "that is a terrible place for a child to go to. That frozen country where wicked people are sent." "Oh, yes. But my father is there, you know," said Paulina. "Who is your father?" the man asked. The little girl was about to tell him, when she noticed a look of interest on the stranger's face, so she said, "Did you say that you had lost your way in the forest? Do you live far from here?" "Yes, very far. I am lost, and am nearly perishing from hunger and cold. How far is it to the next village?" "They told me it was some miles on," said the child, "but I will take you back to the woodman's cottage where I spent the night. The woman is a kind-hearted person, and I'm sure she will give you shelter." "That is kind of you, little one," said the stranger, "but you will be hindering your own journey if you do that. I know that my father would want me to show kindness, even though it did put me back some," Paulina said. "You must have a good father to give you such training. Why did the emperor send him into exile?" the stranger asked her. "Oh, my father had enemies who lied to the emperor, and there was no chance given to my father to explain. So the emperor sent him away to Siberia, and I am trying to find my way there to him." While they walked through the forest, the stranger told Paulina about his own little daughter who was expecting him to spend Christmas with her. At last, they reached the woodman's hut. The woman greeted them kindly, and while Paulina went into another room to help her prepare the evening meal, the stranger was left warming himself by the fire and rocking the cradle. Once, Paulina thought she heard voices, as if the stranger were talking to someone. But when she went back, she found him alone, still warming his hands and rocking the cradle with his foot. That night, the stranger slept on the floor in front of the fire. There was no other place for him, but he was glad to be safe from the storm outside. Early in the morning, the two started out through the forest again. They must hurry if they were to reach the next village before darkness fell. The storm had passed over, and the day was cold and clear, a beautiful winter's day. The little girl and the stranger reached the village on the other side of the forest early in the afternoon, and there before them they saw a beautiful sleigh drawn by four horses. There were four servants standing near. "What a lovely sleigh," exclaimed Paulina. "Yes, I wonder where they're going. I will ask them," the stranger said. He went nearer the men and spoke to them. "We are driving for our master to Igorov," they said. "Why, that is where my daughter is. If I might only ride with you, I could spend Christmas with her. Tomorrow is Christmas Day, you know. And, little one, you could spend Christmas with us too." "Oh no," said Paulina. "I could not take the time. I must hurry on to my father. But it would be lovely if we could only ride in this beautiful sleigh. You could spend the night with us, and then we could set you on your way, because you've been so kind to me," the man told her. The servants were willing to let them ride in the beautiful sleigh, and soon they were speeding over the snow toward the great city. Once, the stranger took a scarf from a pocket on the side of the sleigh and threw it about his neck. Paulina frowned and promptly placed it back in the pocket. "It isn't right for you to touch anything in the sleigh. It belongs to someone else, and I'm beginning to fear that you may not be an honest man," she said gravely. The stranger laughed at her, but he did not take the scarf again. They sped on over the snow until, as darkness fell, they reached the city. Soon they entered a large courtyard, and the stranger took Paulina's hand and led her into a narrow passageway and up a small winding stairway. "Where are you taking me?" asked Paulina. "I feel almost sure now that you are not an honest man. I think that you may even be a thief." The man laughed again. "No, I am an honest man. You will believe me when you see my little daughter. I trusted you in the forest. Now you trust me." He led her into a large room, and they sat down upon a sofa. "We will wait here until my daughter comes," he said. Soon the door opened, and a beautiful little girl, about as large as Paulina, came toward them. She looked puzzled when she saw the rough-looking man with the little girl. She went close to the stranger and looked into his face. "It is my father," she cried, and threw her arms around his neck. "But why are you dressed like a peasant? Has there been an accident? And who is this little stranger?" The man took her on his lap and told her how his sleigh had been overturned in the snowstorm, and how he had found his way to a peasant's hut where they had given him dry clothes to put on, and how he had started out alone to find his way through the forest, and how he was nearly perishing with cold and hunger when this little girl had rescued him, and how, If it had not been for her, he would have died in the snow in the forest. He told her how little Paulina was on her way to Siberia to find her father, and how they went to the woodman's hut where a servant had found him, and how he had planned for the sleigh to meet them on the other side of the forest. "Oh," Paulina interrupted him, "then there was somebody talking with you when we were preparing the evening meal?" "Yes, and everything came out just as I had planned. And do you know, little daughter, this Paulina would not let me put on my own scarf around my neck. She thought I was a thief. She is an honest little girl, but she will not tell me her name. She does not trust me." "But why should I trust you, when you will not tell me who you are or anything about yourself?" Paulina asked. "Do trust my father, Paulina. I'm sure he can help you. He will tell you who he is soon, I know," the beautiful little girl said. "Yes, little one," the stranger said. "I know someone who could speak to the emperor about your father, and perhaps he could be pardoned. Please tell me your name, and then before you go away, I will answer any questions about myself you may ask me." "Do tell my father, Paulina," the little girl urged. Paulina threw her arms about the stranger's knees. "Oh, if you could only get the emperor to pardon him. But I do not ask for a pardon. He has done nothing to be pardoned for. All that I ask is that he may have justice done him. My father is Vladimir Betskoy." The stranger frowned, and then he whispered, "There must be some mistake. He must be a good man to have such an honest little daughter." Then he said to Paulina, "Do you believe now that I am an honest man, since you have seen my daughter?" "Oh, yes, indeed, I do. You couldn't help being good and honest. She's so beautiful. I think her face is like what a queen's should be," Paulina answered eagerly. The stranger and his little daughter smiled, and the man said, "Well, I believe that your father is an honest man since I have seen you, and I can tell you now, I know he will be pardoned." "Tell her, father, tell the little Paulina who you are," his daughter whispered. "Until your father returns to you, little one, you must stay here, and I will be a father to you, as I am father to all the people of Russia, for I am the emperor." Just then, the bells began ringing, and voices outside began singing, for it was the beginning of Christmas morning, and Paulina said, "This is the happiest Christmas morning I have ever known." This heartwarming Christmas story is called The Star by Florence Kingsley and is about a lame little girl named Ruth whose father is an innkeeper. I hope you enjoy this beautiful Christmas story that inspires hope, faith, and love. Once upon a time in a country far away from here, there lived a little girl named Ruth. Ruth's home was not at all like our houses, for she lived in a little tower on top of the great stone wall that surrounded the town of Bethlehem. Ruth's father was the hotel keeper. The Bible says the innkeeper. This inn was not at all like other hotels either. There was a great open yard which was called the courtyard. All about this yard were little rooms, and each traveler who came to the hotel rented one. The inn stood near the great stone wall of the city, so that as Ruth stood one night looking out of the tower window, she looked directly into the courtyard. It was truly a strange sight that met her eyes. So many people were coming to the inn, for the king had made a law that every man should come back to the city where his father used to live, to be counted and to pay his taxes. Some of the people came on the backs of camels with great rolls of bedding and their dishes for cooking upon the back of the beast. Some of them came on little donkeys, and on their backs too were the bedding and the dishes. Some of the people came walking slowly, they were so tired. Many miles some of them had come. As Ruth looked down into the courtyard, she saw the camels being led to their places by their masters. She heard the snap of the whips. She saw the sparks shoot up from the fires that were kindled in the courtyard, where each person was preparing his own supper. She heard the cries of tired, hungry little children. Presently, her mother, who was cooking supper, came over to the window and said, "Ruthie, thou shalt hide in the house until all those people are gone. Dost thou understand?" "Yes, my mother," said the child, and she left the window to follow her mother back to the stove, limping painfully, for little Ruth was a cripple. Her mother stooped suddenly and caught the child in her arms. "My poor little lamb, it was a mule's kick just 6 years ago that hurt your poor back and made you lame." "Never mind, my mother. My back does not ache today, and lately, when the light of the strange new star has shone down upon my bed, my back has felt so much stronger, and I have felt so happy, as though I could climb upon the rays of the star and up into the sky and above the stars." Her mother shook her head sadly. "Thou art not likely to climb much, now or ever, but come. The supper is ready. Let us go find your father. I wonder what keeps him." They found the father standing at the gate of the courtyard, talking to a man and woman who had just arrived. The man was tall, with a long beard, and he led by a rope a snow-white mule, on which sat the drooping figure of the woman. As Ruth and her mother came near, they heard the father say, "But I tell thee that there is no more room in the inn. Hast thou no friends where thou canst go spend the night?" The man shook his head. "No, none," he answered. "I care not for myself, but my poor wife." Little Ruth pulled at her mother's dress. "Mother, the oxen sleep out under the stars these warm nights, and the straw in the caves is clean and warm. I have made a bed there for my little lamb." Ruth's mother bowed before the tall man. "Thou didst hear the child. It is as she says. The straw is clean and warm." The tall man bowed his head. "We shall be very glad to stay." And he helped the sweet-faced woman down from the donkey's back and led her away to the cave stable, while the little Ruth and her mother hurried up the stairs that they might send a bowl of porridge to the sweet-faced woman and a sup of new milk as well. That night, when little Ruth lay down in her bed, the rays of the beautiful new star shone through the window more brightly than before. They seemed to soothe the tired, aching shoulders. She fell asleep and dreamed that the beautiful bright star burst, and out of it came countless angels who sang in the night, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And then it was morning, and her mother was bending over her and saying, "Awake, awake, little Ruth. Mother has something to tell thee." Then as the eyes opened slowly, "The angels came in the night, little one, and left a baby to lay beside your little white lamb in the manger." That afternoon, Ruth went with her mother to the fountain. The mother turned aside to talk to the other women of the town about the strange things heard and seen the night before. But Ruth went on and sat down by the edge of the fountain. The child was not frightened, for strangers came often to the well, but never had she seen men who looked like the three who now came towards her. The first one, a tall man with a long white beard, came close to Ruth and said, "Canst tell us, child, where is born he that is called the King of the Jews?" "I know of no king," she answered. "But last night, while the star was shining, the angels brought a baby to lie beside my white lamb in the manger." The stranger bowed his head. "That must be he. Wilt thou show us the way to him, my child?" So Ruth ran, and her mother led the three men to the cave, and when they saw the child, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy, and opening their gifts, they presented unto him gold and frankincense and myrrh, with wonderful jewels, so that Ruth's mother's eyes shone with wonder. But little Ruth saw only the baby, which lay asleep on its mother's breast. "If only I might hold him in my arms," she thought, but was afraid to ask. After a few days, the strangers left Bethlehem, all but the three, the man whose name was Joseph, and Mary his wife, and the baby. Then, as of old, little Ruth played about the courtyard, and the white lamb frolicked at her side. Often she dropped to her knees to press the little woolly white head against her breast, while she murmured, "My little lamb, my very, very own, I love you, lambie." And then together they would steal over to the entrance of the cave to peep in at the baby, and always she thought, "If I only might touch his hand," but was afraid to ask. One night, as she lay in her bed, she thought to herself, "Oh, I wish I had a beautiful gift for him, such as the wise men brought, but I have nothing at all to offer, and I love him so much." Just then, the light of the star, which was nightly fading, fell across the foot of the bed and shone full upon the white lamb which lay asleep at her feet. And then she thought of something. The next morning, she arose with her face shining with joy. She dressed carefully, and with the white lamb held close to her breast, went slowly and painfully down the stairway and over to the door of the cave. "I have come," she said, "to worship him, and I have brought him my white lamb." The mother smiled at the lame child. Then she lifted the baby from her breast and placed him in the arms of the little maid who knelt at her feet. A few days after, an angel came to the father, Joseph, and told him to take the baby and hurry to the land of Egypt, for the wicked king wanted to do it harm. And so these three, the father, mother, and baby, went by night to the far country of Egypt. And the star grew dimmer and dimmer, and passed away forever from the skies over Bethlehem. But little Ruth grew straight and strong and beautiful as the almond trees in the orchard, and all the people who saw her were amazed, for Ruth was once a cripple. "It was the light of the strange star," her mother said. But little Ruth knew it was the touch of the blessed Christ child who was once folded against her heart. Sweet dreams, my friend. Sleep well.